You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 FM in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm William Goodenough.
This week we present the first part of a short serialization of an interview with Merve, Hussein, and Uskar, members of DAF. DAF translates to Revolutionist Anarchist Action and is a network of overlapping collectives in Turkey. They're based out of Istanbul and run an office and two cafes, both called 26A, a meeting space, and many of them are employed as collective members. This conversation was conducted on March 19th, 2016, a few short hours after a Daesh bombing occurred in the Beyoğlu neighborhood of Istanbul on the touristy street called İstiklal Avenue, just a few blocks from one of the collective's cafes and their newspaper office. The bomb killed 4 tourists and the bomber, and also injured 36 people.
But before that interview, here is a quick announcement. There is good news for our comrade on the inside, Aso Blanco, who was sentenced to 80 years in maximum security prison for a series of bank robberies and a firearms violation. He is someone of Cherokee descent and has been politicized during his time in prison and before that time as well. Recently, there has been a massive fundraising effort on the part of his support team to get him transferred out of his former facility and for legal fees to get his sentence reduced. Both of these efforts have been a massive success. Thanks very much to anyone who donated to this effort. They have reached their fundraising goal at this time. Of course, money will always be needed until Aso Blanco is completely free. Donations are always welcome. The support in donations and spreading the word was fast and totally amazing. Aso Blanco has been assigned a lawyer who he feels comfortable with, and he is moving quickly to make sure the motion is filed by June 25th, 2016, the motion to get his sentence reduced, that is. Communication with Aso Blanco has been iffy at best. Please write to him to show support. If you donated to this effort, write and let him know, as it will help immensely to raise his spirits. If you would like to donate further and for guidelines on what mail will and won't get into his facility, you can visit his support website at freeasoblanco.blogspot.com. To write to him at his new location, you can address letters to, unfortunately you have to address letters to his government name, which is Byron Chubbuck, C-H-U-B-B-U-C-K, number 07909051, USP Lewisburg, P.O. Box 1000, Lewisburg, PA, 17837. And now here are some words from anarchist prisoner Sean Swain. Quick note to listeners, this segment mentions certain sensitive forms of violence towards trans people, and if you are not in a place to hear that right now, just turn down your dial for the next 10 minutes or so. Additionally, this segment mentions the fact that sometimes people in prison feel the need to associate with certain groups in order to survive, groups which they would not normally associate with. And the Aryan Brotherhood is mentioned in this context. What you say, what you say, what you say,
Kara is a transgendered prisoner held captive in Ohio. She's seeking support in her struggle to gain recognition of transgender rights in prison. Kara was born Adam. Even as a child, Adam always related to girls rather than boys and wanted to play with Barbies. Societal stereotypes forced Adam to play with G.I. Joes, so Adam chopped their heads off and buried them in the yard. In repressing his true identity, Adam became a tough guy, the exact opposite of his internal self. At 13, Adam's grandfather died, and a few things converged all at once. First, his internal identity didn't match the external, and he didn't know why. Second, in looking over his adoption papers, it only reinforced the sense that he was always unwanted and worthless. And third, Adam had no sense of self-value. That led to the first suicide attempt. Do you know what the suicide rate is among transgender teens? Google it. It'll ruin your dinner. When Adam sought therapy, the therapist even advised to hide his true identity. So at night, Adam would lock his bedroom door and put on the girl's clothes he bought with his paper route money. And he'd pretend to be accepted by imaginary friends represented by action figures and stuffed animals. Adam's parents found his stash of girls' clothes and asked if he was gay. His honest response was no, because he knew what gay was and he didn't feel gay. Instead, he felt like a woman whose body didn't match his identity. But he couldn't articulate that. So, Adam attempted suicide again. If you're keeping score at home, that's two efforts to end an intolerable existence of confusion and fear and pain. At 16, Adam found chat lines, and with it came the freedom of anonymity, being able to express through electronic media what he couldn't be in the course of daily life. The effort at maintaining the lie of his false identity as Adam had its costs. He got involved in drugs and alcohol and ended up in prison, an environment that even more demanded the maintenance of the tough guy facade. At age 25, on his third prison number, Adam joined the Aryan Brotherhood, the ultimate expression of the supermasculine stereotype that was completely inimical to his internal reality. Adam never really bought into the group's racist agenda, but his membership in such a reactionary, heteronormative group certainly hit his internal woman. Back on the streets in 2005, the mother of his child expressed her certainty that Adam was gay. Adam agreed, even though gay didn't fit. He went to the mall and bought girls' clothes, went to gay clubs as a flamboyant gay man, what Kara now describes as super gay. At age 25, Adam transitioned into life as a woman. Problem is, she inherited Adam's drug habit and had to prostitute herself to support it. In a hard year of life as a woman, she was raped twice. After the second rape, she vowed to herself that she would never let it happen again. Then came the situation that got her locked up. A guy came onto her and got aggressive and didn't understand that no meant no. He got naked, and in the ensuing struggle, she saw the glint of light on metal, reached for a knife, and stabbed the guy repeatedly. All the trauma of the past rapes and all the pain and anger created the perfect storm. She slit his throat and nearly decapitated the guy. Just an observation here, but it doesn't seem like that guy was using his head for anything important anyway. During the criminal proceedings charged as Adam, he claimed he killed a sexual predator who tried to rape a girl he knew. That was true, of course, but what Adam didn't mention is that he was the girl he knew. So with 25 years for manslaughter and other incidental crimes, Adam returned to prison, still sporting an Aryan Brotherhood patch, and the mother of his child scrambled to erase a year of life as a woman from the internet. At age 26 in prison, Adam finally came out as Kara. She took the name Kara because it's the name her parents had planned to give her if she was born a girl on the outside. She even came out to the Aryan Brotherhood. Talk about courage, huh? Turns out nobody wants to mess with somebody who has demonstrated the capacity for sawing off a human head with a Ginsu knife. Go figure. After a long and painful journey, Kara has finally come to the conclusion that the only thing that was ever wrong with her was that she was uncomfortable with who she was. All she ever wanted was to fit in, to be liked, for people to love her for who she is rather than who she felt she had to be. Looking back, Kara now contends that going through all of that suppression in order to find her truth has made her a stronger woman than she ever would have been. And now we reach the good part. The ODRC recognizes transgender designation and provides accommodations. For instance, transgender prisoners can shower alone at times, set aside for them, and can insist on pat-downs by guards of the same sex to which they themselves identify. But the staffers who approve or deny accommodations tell Kara that she can't have women's clothes, for instance, and they cannot force other staff to use feminine pronouns or her name of preference. Further still, Kara is denied the commissary and catalog purchases afforded to women prisoners at women's prisons, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry, hygiene items. She is not afforded the same right to express her identity in grooming and maintenance. So, for Kara, the accommodations don't go nearly far enough. She's now looking for some outside support so she can file a federal civil rights action that will not only recognize her equal right to the same treatment as women prisoners, and not only change the landscape of transgender rights, but hopefully, her struggle will provide a sense of dignity and hope to transgender teens out there, who now are confused and hurting and alone, and may otherwise become a suicide statistic. Kara has to change the social norm that it's okay to think of transgender as less. She needs to develop a support system and a legal fund. With any luck, there will soon be some postings at seanslane.org for how folks can get involved with Kara's struggle. Or you can write to her directly at Kara Bakersteady, 606-000, P.O. P.O. Box 120, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. Hopefully, Kara won't have to be heroic by herself. If she is, shame on us. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional Institution in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at his new address by directing it to Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. President in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.
Would you be so kind as to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the work that 26A does in Istanbul?
My name is Marve. I am working voluntarily in 26A Collective. I'm living in Istanbul, and we have two collective cafes in Istanbul as 26A Collective, and I'm working these two cafes.
And when you say as a volunteer, so that means you don't receive any remuneration or any money for it?
Yes, I am a volunteer and I don't receive any remuneration or anything else, any valuable thing, because this is this organization is a cafe without bosses, a collective operating without bosses. So, like me, anyone else who's taking initiative for working for the work of this cafe. Is also a volunteer, and so this is, we believe that labor cannot be valued, so that's why we are applying what we think is should be into this area that we live.
Can you talk about what sort of things happen at 26A? I'd like to go back to that topic, but just to sort of like flesh out or meetings or discussions or what.
So many self-organizations use the place for meeting, as well as some exhibitions. They may sometimes do exhibitions,
like art shows.
Collage, political, non-political. There are some space available on the walls and fanzines. Mm-hmm. And also, these self-organizations do meetings. Sometimes their own meetings, and sometimes there are open meetings. It's very flexible. Like during the 1st of May of 2012, 26A took the initiative to prepare sandwiches and distribute free on the 1st of May, which was taxi. And it was the sandwiches were 26A initiatives prepared and distributed free of charge. And at one time, for example, in the Gezi uprising, Taksim uprisings, the cafe turned into a place for shelter for who are affected, and instead of or just have a small break, mm-hmm. have tea, and go back to the street.
But like washing out the tear gas,
yes,
and okay,
things like that. It turned something else from a cafe, and
even the activists stayed for...
I stayed for the night, for example, yeah. for people who are watching the barricades,
yeah.
took turns, and then maybe they were
safe place
staying
to sleep.
Over. Yes, sleep. Mm-hmm. And also, for example, sometimes some 26 April is used to have a meeting and a breakfast type for self-organizations related. So another example with the other self-organizations is an art collective who was doing a project against anti-capitalist ads, and the screening and meetings of the project was joined with 26A.
So 26A is a part of a larger network of organizations. Are you a member of any of the other members or groups within that? And can you talk about that sort of relationship between the different groups?
She's from 26 Anarchist Women Collective, and many other women are also taking initiative in 26A. I'm also from Meydan newspaper, and
I'm also from Meydan newspaper.
And so we take part also in the collective.
We have başka gruplar da var.
Action.
Mm-hmm. Conscientious Objection Association.
So you can write down the names for all these other.
Patika Ecology Collective. Ondan sonra Anarchist Youth. Başka?
Lise. High School Anarchist Action.
Love.
Love.
These are the self-organizations
mm-hmm.
who are also inside the 26A collective. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the individuals who are inside. These self-organizations are also part of 26A. So you can understand them. It is a big relation between these self-organizations
mm-hmm.
which have their own decision-making processes
mm-hmm.
and we name this relationship as DAF, Revolutionary Anarchist Action. So when we talk about 26A in an economic level, actually we are talking about a big economic area which is related with DAF, and 26A is just a part of this. This point is important to understand 26A cafe more than a cafe. It is something like a relation. It is not just the space between the walls. It is a part of our life.
This includes 26A too, so it's not there is no hierarchy between these organizations. So 26A also has its own decision process, which includes all of its initiative,
mm-hmm.
People who are taking initiative in it. But it's also part of this network
yeah.
who joins political actions, who has a political agenda, and also a relation which, like, there are many projects that 26A joins. There is also sports collective, for example. Sometimes it supports this collective, for example.
So how does 26A support a sports collective? Just from meetings of the group? And
Like economically.
Okay.
Like there are people from sports collective who are taking initiative, and sometimes... for example, we need something
mm-hmm.
for working, and then we buy that. Like it's a joint.
So then maybe we can talk about the economics of 26A more distinctly. So you, for instance, are a volunteer at 26A, and you said you don't get any payment from that, any money. That it's a voluntary social like labor effort that you're initiating for the community. So where do the profits from 26A go to? Like what sort of, to buy equipment, for instance, if the collective decides for the sports initiative, or
Or for newspaper, for example.
Hem senin bu söylediğin ihtiyaç.
So these all of these self organizations are in a relationship of solidarity. So since this is we share a common understanding of what is a need. Mm-hmm. So this is which includes anti-capitalist, anarchist vision or idea. So since we share this idea of what is a need and we need this solidarity, we try to provide everyone their needs. And what's and what the projects, the political projects, are also included in these needs, because mm-hmm. as a as anarchists, we need to participate. We need to we all of us are as anarchists want to continue our political agenda mm-hmm. as well as our lives. Many of us share our life spaces and our what our lively things like eating, and so when we do this in common, we it's easier to share this common idea, which is also shared in practice. So to summarize, what we get from 26A goes to the things that 26A cafe needs, some maintenance and everything first, and then to the lively needs of the people who are associated with 26A, and thirdly, to the political project like printing mm-hmm. and other things.
So we won't aim to become rich from the 26A cafes. So when we
I thought that's why people started radical cafes and bookstores, was to get rich.
Yeah. Okay. But sometimes these kind of projects evolve some other. So this is, I think, a big problem between the collectives, collective economics. The individuals who are inside this relationship, 26A, they are anarchist individuals. And when we are talking about these individuals, we're also talking about families inside this relationship. So 26A is something like a way for the people where they can get their lives in an anti-capitalist way. Also, this is another aim of 26A project, to socialize this economic model and mm-hmm. to show the people that, okay, we can do it without boss, and we can do it by maintaining our common needs, and blah, blah.
This is the Final Straw Radio, and I'm your host, Bursts. You're listening to the first of three segments of a long conversation with activists from the DAF, an Istanbul-centered anarchist network in Turkey. Coming up, we'll hear more of their descriptions of collective living among the members of DAF and how DAF began, the ideas and activities of the Anarchist Women's Collective, patriarchy in Turkey, organizing around LGBTQI struggles, and support for a trans woman named Ezra imprisoned in a men's prison in Turkey, and more. Also, if you miss any of this or you want to hear the full conversations, check out our blog at ashevillefm.org/the-final-straw and later at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org to hear the other two or three portions of the conversation that didn't make it on.
So, then maybe I framed the question incorrectly when I was talking about economics and remuneration, and I was framing it in terms of individual, like money that I put into my pockets. And you both have, or you all three have talked about like what supporting the collective means of the individuals that are involved in it outside of like, so there's the collective needs the needs of the collective members, the facilities of the 26As, and then supporting other political projects such as Maidan newspaper. So can you talk about a little bit more about the collectivized, self-sustaining aspect of it, of like meals and living situations and stuff like that? As a model.
Çevir istersen abi. İşte burada paydayı iyi şey yapmak lazım, anlatmak lazım. Bir paydadan bahsetmek lazım.
So to solve these problems that are imposed, like rent and for food, buying food, all of these needs are discussed in the meetings and we try to find collective solutions for these. For meals and washing, so for example, this place is very important for us because it's one of the common places that we prepare meals here, and like 40 people a day eat here, and in the places we stay, we share. At least five or more people share one place. We use our sleeping places crowded.
Sen kendinden bahset abi. Ben de şöyle aileyle kalıyorum.
So I'm staying with a family and another comrade. We stay somewhere near the cafe. We have a baby, the family, we share her needs and
taking care of her, feeding her, changing her.
Making meals, and as well as economics, I'm working part-time as software engineer, and also as two people are taking PhD in the cafe, so we have a common economy and we share the work also. So this is like this in every
house.
Group,
okay, yeah. So people who are volunteering within 26A and within DAF or within 26A are also having to pull in money from outside work.
Yeah, it's not very common. I am one of the few examples who work outside.
Oh, okay.
Because software engineering is relatively good paying job over the time. So that's what we choose. When the cafe started in 2009, many comrades working outside, doing cleaning work and hostel, working in hostels. What else?
We were living in cafe.
Okay.
We have no common place.
Yes.
We were living after 11 o'clock, it became our house.
Yeah.
And some comrades are working during the night in hostels, something like this. So at the first time, there is no economical income. But the important part is the individuals believe in this project, and I think this part is important. It is bigger than economy. Okay, I mean, it is our common project, and we try to socialize this economic model, create this economic model. Now we have ability, how can I say, to live over 40 people. We can say after 8 years.
Yeah.
But before, it wasn't like this.
And I wasn't asking to sort of poke holes at all. It was more just to sort of have in my head an understanding of how much rent can be paid by selling coffee in two places. Because I have friends that work in, or have a collective coffee shop back in Asheville. And I know that they're, it's also a bookstore. And it's always just struggling. They haven't collectivized the money coming in, but they all individually get a paycheck when they go home and they spend it as they want to, but they decide to work for that collective because they feel it's a very useful thing to provide a space where people can come and mm-hmm. give presentations and have discussions and get coffee for cheap and buy political books. And yeah, it's a good space for our community to have. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was kind of amazed.
Yes, it's like you said, it's not very easy.
Yeah.
Especially in a center of, this is one of the centers of the city, and rents are going up all the time.
Yeah.
Although we are old renters, we are still affected. And we, since the start of the cafe project, we found some economic models that that will enable us to live.
I use the term as republicizing. I don't know if it's like we get from the market, okay?
Uh-huh.
Until now, we haven't buy like a cheese. We republicize from the market. This part is important because to understand the hard history of the 26A collective. And as you and Özgür have said, that this process is a hard process, but at this hard time,
mm-hmm.
we find collective solutions, and with using our anarchist creativity.
In some periods of time,
mm-hmm.
we stayed in places without rent,
mm-hmm.
but it's not very easy.
Yeah,
It's not like in Europe. But we, when we see some chance,
yeah.
we do that, and also the food also like sense.
Bir de şunu ekleyelim abi. Yani aynı zamanda.
So many individuals like have a lot of debt to many bank states, and but. To continue this political project, we pay, for example, we don't want the cafe to close.
Yeah.
So if there is a minimum amount that will enable us to continue, we pay that.
Yeah, okay.
So, as,
Sometimes,
everyone...
Sometimes the collective sustains you, sometimes you have to put in and sustain the collective economically.
We are the collective, actually. So individually... We take care of each other.
Okay.
This is also like the collective responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We are responsible from each other. So maybe this part seems like not important, but the important part is this. In this collective, the individuals are trust each other. In a capitalist system, I think this is the only thing that we got.
Yeah.
Being Malta,
we find it very important to show that this kind of relationship is possible to live, and we show people come and meet in 26A, and they see that this relationship between the people who are taking initiative, and we of course talk. We are not just serving, and we talk about this relationship. We talk about how cafe works.
Yeah.
This is one of the areas for organizing, and also when people start to get closer to
mm-hmm.
the collective, and in the meantime, people see this relationship and how it works. And they leave, and people gradually become part of the collective like this.
Have you had a lot of people come in that way?
Yes.
Cool.
Maybe 60%, almost. Yeah. Maybe more. I can't
Because people are not just looking for to collectivize the political ideas. They're also looking for, okay, you are saying this, but what you are doing? So the economic model also important for the political actions.
Mm-hmm. Would you be into talking a little bit about some of the other parts of DAF? Well, in relation to the housing, I guess, to jump back to that really fast, are there any women-only houses?
Yes. This place started as a project for women. And this part of the project was that women could produce beer also, live and produce.
Something like women cooperative.
But there, like, just right after the project started, there were a lot of political events, you know, big changes, and then we postponed it, but we still had it in our agenda. So we just want to stay in place. For,
You're a member of the women's group. What kind of work do y'all do? And also, why do you think it's important for there to be a women's group specifically?
Yes, we believe that it's very necessary to have a women-only self-organization. All women... Most of the women in anarchist women organization take part in other parts, like Meydan newspaper and 26 AM, other political. So it's inevitable for the freedom of women, for the organizing, for the freedom of women, we have to have a separate self-organization. So this is inevitable in all part geographies, but geography we live in has this necessity more than others because of the patriarchal culture. It has two aspects. The anarchist women organization changes the lives of the women who take part. It affects to transform their lives, and it also affects the anarchist movement as a whole. It also affects all of the movement because it's as a strong voice. Gender roles. The gender roles are picked up again and again in society, and it also happens in the struggle for the for freedom struggle. So, women, anarchist women, focus on this aspect. And it helps to make this struggle unified. We have publications, the women funding, and need rallies, demos, because in average, three women are killed by patriarchy. So this is a very high number.
Every day?
Every day, okay. In average. And,
and this is by, like, attacks by family members or by strangers
mostly,
because they're women?
Lovers, fathers. Sometimes unknown.
Yeah.
And there are continuous actions against this, and they follow the
cases.
Court cases, and also solidarity with and also LGBT movement. We have a friend in prison, lifelong sentence, lifelong. Trans woman.
In a men's prison.
A male's prison.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have had a camp. Extensive campaign to have solidarity with her, and she managed to the pressure of the prison is much less now.
Because of the solidarity that's been offered. So are you like writing to the like the prison officials, or writing to her so that she gets a bunch of letters? In the American system, one of the things that we do to offer solidarity to prisoners, in particular trans folks who are in the wrong prison. Every prison is the wrong prison. But the wrong gender assignment for their imprisonment. Or anyone, a political prisoner, vegan prisoners, is to send them a bunch of letters so that everyone recognizes that person's being paid attention to, so we can't hurt them as much. Is that
exactly? Yes. So we both followed up with the administration, and many people joined this campaign, sent letters. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of good psychological support this way, and also the, like you said, the officials paid attention not to hurt her. And before the screening, what we call this, the screening was done by hand and turned into
like a wand, or
they do like this.
And,
and sometimes this change a little bit different because he is male, okay, and try to
taciz. Okay, I can't find the word. It was assault. Assault with her, and then this stopped. This.
Yani bir de mesela hani düzenli olarak onu görmeye gittiğimizden de bahsedebilirim.
Ben sees her every month.
Okay.
So later in the campaign, this affected other LGBT prisoners, and it was their conditions improved.
That's great.
We call her Esra.
Esra. Okay.
And this is the Facebook page of our solidarity initiative, and you can find some photos of her and some letters from her.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
So, hello, dear listeners. A quick announcement. We just got word that there will be a vigil tonight at 9 p.m. at Firestorm at 610 Haywood Road for the victims and community affected by the shooting that occurred last night in Orlando, Florida. The shooting occurred at the gay dance club called The Pulse, and the media outlets are announcing that there were 50 people killed in what appears to have been a targeted attack by someone from outside of the area wielding an assault rifle and a handgun. The hostage situation that developed was ended by a SWAT team at 5 a.m. this morning. So come out tonight and support this community. Again, that's going to be at 9 p.m. today at Firestorm Books and Coffee at 610 Haywood Road in West Asheville.
This is the Final Star Radio, and I'm Bursts. You're listening to the first of three segments in a long conversation with activists from DAF, Revolutionary Anarchist Action, based out of Istanbul, an Istanbul-based anarchist network in Turkey. In the remaining portions of this episode, Merve, Hussein, and Uskar of DAF talk about anarchist youth wing of DAF, also the group LAF, or the High School Anarchist Action, organizing around anti-militarism, around conscription, education, and against fascist and extremist youth and more. To hear more of the conversation, you can find our blog for this episode in the near future, and you'll see links to other topics we chatted about, including organizing around resistance in Rojava, ecological organizing in northern Turkey, animal rights, material solidarity with Kurdish populations facing repression from the state in southeastern Turkey, and more. More information about DAF in Turkish you can find at anarchistfaaliyet.org. That's anarchistfaaliyet.org. Or you can find them on social media. If you're listening live right now, stay tuned for Wordplay with Jeff and Lockie at the top of the hour for poetry, music, and much, much more.
Can you all speak to what does the youth or the high school group do that's in DAF?
Okay, talk for them.
Well, not for them, but if you want to just, like, describe what they do.
Ah, okay.
Ne yaptıklarından bahsediliyor yani, onlar adına konuşmayın.
Ha, of course. So, Anarchist Youth is an organization for young people who are either in the university or in the, mostly in the service sector working, like mm-hmm. that age group. Not just age group, but this the situation that are this is beginning of the life, economic life. So
the people that are just coming into the period of time when they're likely to move out from their parents' house.
Yes.
Okay.
Evet, ne yapıyorlar? Yani üniversitede politik süreçte take actions against the oppressive administration which includes the police police in the university and the
işte
other applications oppressive and also they also do political actions against the political agenda, current political agenda. Öbür tarafta,
öte yanda,
anarchist youth also organizes in the organizes the young workers, most of them in service sector, and they the young workers are usually exploited a lot, and when they try to fight for their rights, anarchist youth does solidarity actions with them.
It is hard to answer these questions, especially for the universities, because last two or three years in the universities, they do not let the political students act. It is a state repression, but also like the youth of ISIS are also in the university, and they face with the repression of the youth of the ISIS. Before there is clashes between the fascists, now clashes between the
fundamentalists,
ISIS.
Okay. Yeah, there was. I'm sorry for the vagueness, but I remember reading an article in the last, or an announcement on Anarchist Info's email list that was translated poorly, but about a clash between ISIS youth and anarchist and political students at a university recently.
Mm-hmm. What then?
We had a couple
2 weeks.
This year.
Two weeks. 2 weeks ago, I think. 3 weeks.
Evet. Öyle bir şey olmuştu. Ya şimdi
Marmara Üniversitesi.
Yok, İstanbul Üniversitesi.
İstanbul.
Yoğunluklu olarak İstanbul Üniversitesi.
The last 2 years not just but other İslam
organizations
started organizing in universities.
There is a differentiation in, how can I say, like anarchist youth or high school anarchist action, they are not student movements. I mean, we can see many examples, especially in South America, the anarchist student movements, but comrades in anarchist youth and high school anarchist action, they are against any kind of education system. Mm-hmm. So they are not fighting for free education or some gains in
education. So not like in Chile. Chile, for instance, where it's a huge student movement that includes a lot of anarchists, specifically for like, free education for everyone, better quality, better pay for teachers. It's actually challenging the fundamental model on which modern education is built.
Yes.
Okay.
But this is different. Like, it's against all kinds of education. The idea is that the information can be interchanged in the society, but this mode of sharing doesn't have to be like an education, like a teacher and a student. It doesn't have to be like that. So what this anarchist action and also what we share. We are not against information sharing, but we are against all education, because it's a relation, it's a
power.
A power relation.
Yeah.
Yes. So
as a structure.
As a structure. So the comrades in LAF and also anarchist youth focus on this idea, and they organize in the schools, but they don't organize for better education. They organize for, again, the freedom from these oppressive structures.
Mesela paylaşma masaları var. Mesela lafın şey yap.
So this anarchist action is a very has a very long history compared to
the other self organization. It is the oldest self
organization.
Laf.
Laf. And it has a tradition of actions an action type doing sharing and solidarity tables in schools, because in schools we have canteens and
we call them cafeterias in the US.
Yes. And they it's high priced, sometimes it's high priced and bad food, so they organized sharing tables for eating lunch, and this is one of the first actions they did. And it's the canteen boycotts, and again also the tables. So another action they
when you hear it, it seems like a soft action, but the administration of the school do not let. Sometimes they ask for police to destroy these tables. And two comrades, ne zaman önce?
2012'de.
In 2012, two comrades has been taken by police because of sharing bread, cheese, olives.
This is recording, you can't say that. I'm going to get in trouble.
This is the tam mı gelmişti
yok. Ya normal. Ve bu şey olmuştu. Çok büyük olay olmuştu. Ana haber kanallarında
çıktı. This was in the mass media actually. So
röportaj vermişlerdi, laf mı yoldaşlar.
This was the highest profile.
They have made interview in mainstream.
Mainstream night news.
I mean, how was it being portrayed? Was it like food terrorists, or the government is actually taking away people's lunches? Is that how the media dealt with it, or
the guy, the news guy, was sympathetic with the movement, and it was portrayed good.
You know, when they captured, in quotations, a terrorist, they write the organization name with the guns, bombs, etc. And
they lay out
the
sandwiches.
Comrades made it from the bread, cheese, and olives. Laugh. And this is what we are doing. We are sharing. And we would continue share.
Yes, it was a very good time organizing.
24 Kasım'dan
One of the other action is again traditional with love, is every 24th of November, it's the Teacher's Day, and they love gives the teachers present by locking the school.
My mother was a teacher. I don't know if she would like that, but yeah, she's a workaholic, that's why.
Tabela değiştirme olayları var.
Mesela Kenan evini Erdal Eren yapmıştı.
Okay. So another type is changing the name of the schools. For example, the KUP General Kenan Evren, his name was given to a school, and comrades changed it to Erdal Eren, which was a 17-year-old
revolutionary
hanged by the coup. The name was changed. The school name was changed.
Wow. Another
action was in the a school for the Armenians. Mm-hmm. There was a huge banner saying how happy is it to say I'm a Turk.
It's a quotation from Mustafa Kemal.
It's a quotation from Atatürk. And then they changed it to how happy is it to say brotherhood of the peoples.
Nice.
So these kinds of actions.
Aynı zamanda hani lafları
so the people in the high school face one of the most important problems they have is the military obligation service.
So how does that work? Is it you either have to, upon graduating high school, either be a member of the police or a member of the military for a period of time?
No, every male at the age of 20 has to serve the army.
Okay.
There is no other option. But you can postpone it if you are studying in the university. But you can postpone it for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And this, since we are also anti-militarist, we took this problem, and every member of the LAV is also a conscientious objector.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest conscientious objector is a member of LAV. In the whole world. Because of this situation.
Militarism is a big problem in education system. Like, state is doing the militarist propaganda in education system. Not just in the courses of history or some other thing. Like, think about that. There is a course in which a soldier come and try to educate the young people.
That is mandatory. In high schools, every year there is a course given by a military personnel about. It's not called a military course. It's called a patriotism course. And also, it's not just that. All of the activities in the high school and even the primary school, it's modeled after the army, like morning call. Everyone goes into the lines, and national anthem is sang, roll calls, and
exercise drills.
Drills like the morning ritual is the same, exactly the same as the military ritual. And also, mostly the physical education classes are also modeled after the army. So the education is highly militaristic. So the LAV has actions against this. LAV has worked on these issues and has a lot of things to say over this.
And moreover, we call LAV as like the heart of the relation of these self-organizations, because they are the younger people and like they are the
driving.
Yes, they are dynamo of the whole relations, and like at that period of time, I'm talking about the years like between 14 and 18, the young people are also open to be attracted by fascist ideology. So LAV is really important for us.
This is The Final Straw, and I'm William Goodenough.